Big L bomb. And Mr. Rose. The L bomb.
No, well, it's Big L now.
I'll stick with Bobby Rose. Yeah,
yeah, Bobby Rose. I always call you Mr. Rose.
Mr. Rose. Well, yeah. That sounds distinguished.
Oh, sidebar before we start. Anybody been following the SNC Lavalin case?
Yeah.
Well, dude, fucking Trudeau's digging a hole.
He's done, buddy.
Yeah.
Is that about what? The resignation of
two people resigned, but it's all about Rayburn Wilson. Yeah. And then Trudeau is like basically the brain of Trudeau quit. And he's trying to get out of this mess.
Yeah.
Well, they're basically saying, Trudeau liberals basically. Interfered with the legal system and let them off when.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they were special favor there. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, one thing I'm confused about is I'm hearing Bernie's running for 2020. Mm-hmm. That election doesn't even start.
That's fine. Yeah.
Until next year, and I'm not hearing anything about the Canadian election, and it's this
year. Yeah, I know.
Year.
It's pathetic.
What the hell's happening?
Because the Canadians, we're not
good with TV. Yeah.
Well, the Liberals give them a media grant, so they're kind of like, they're suppressing all that fucking all this shit.
They don't want. Smear stuff on.
Talk radio is conservative usually.
Yeah. I listen to pretty liberal stations sometimes.
Oh, okay, yeah. No, I know.
10,
this
10,
is, yeah.
10, I don't know. 10-10, you got, Jerry Agar, who's, an uptight, stupid conservative. Not that all conservatives are stupid. He's just stupid. But then you got some other hosts like Jay and Rob, who are a little more on the liberal side. No, it's a good spectrum.
Yeah.
But most, you're right. Like, 680 is straight conservative.
At 640, it's, almost 50-50. There's a few, good conservative personalities, like John Oakley and... This one chick, Alex Pearson, she used to work for Global.
Mm-hmm.
She's straight, leaning, super leaning right, so she's sympathetic to Trump and all that shit. But.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, if y'all are ready to jump into it.
Yeah, let's kick it off.
We'll kick off the front door. So, welcome everyone to part two of the Great Canadian Debate on the Joe Van Secret Podcast. With me today, I have again... Big L, the L Bomb, L Meister, and we have Bobby Rose, back from the grave. I don't actually know if... Mr. Rose.
Yeah, apparently I died recently.
I don't know who Bobby Rose is, that's unfortunate. But anyway, he's here.
It's...
It's him! It's him, he's here. Bobby Rose, in the flesh.
Alright, nice
Before
to be here.
Before we kick things off, though, a word from our sponsor. This episode's sponsor is Project MK Ultra. Project MK Ultra. At least you don't know about MK often. Okay.
MK Ultra. I don't know. They named a good strain after that.
Yep.
Now, when we left things off, we were talking about commercial drones, legal cannabis, nationalism, globalism, and gun freedom. This part two, we'll be talking about worker strikes, net neutrality, the minimum wage, and potentially more. It all depends on how much we can cover in an hour. So, if you guys want to just jump right into it, we can start with worker strikes. So, to take the side, either for or against, we'll start with Big L. Start from the left, go right, as they say. Are you for or against worker strikes?
I'd say I'm for worker strikes in the majority of cases. There was a worker strike that really impacted me last year, and... personally made me really pissed off, but I think the core concept is something I agree with. It gives employers, or limits employer power, especially when that power can be abused, and I think it's kind of not always the best situation, but it's a necessity.
Yeah. Very good. Now on to Mr. Rose.
I don't disagree with worker strikes. I mean, everyone has the right to try and renegotiate their wage with inflation, the costs of everything get more expensive, so people need to get paid more. Companies aren't always offering these hikes in pay. So, workers have a right to strike, but at the same time, companies, this is capitalism, they have a right to hire scabs, as they call them, or other workers to take their spots. So, I don't see a problem with striking. I mean, I do see a problem in the public sector when it's teachers striking and literally closing down schools and holding students hostage and, messing up their school years and stuff like that. That's maybe a bit of a gray area, but
Yeah, on that note, the strike I mentioned that really pissed me off happened to be a teacher slash professor strike at the university I was attending. And yeah, very, very frustrating. Really pushed us back, and certain people and certain programs I was hearing about actually had that semester cut, and they weren't receiving a full credit for any of their courses because they didn't spend enough time. So I do think that there are situations where there needs more governance on how those strikes can be conducted.
Yeah.
I think that certain industries, I definitely agree, need some kind of rules and regulations, but as a whole, I think it's something we need.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, the only point I'll make on there is worker strikes is sort of like the civilized, you know, in-house version of war, where it's two forces competing against each other, or a civil war, I guess, to have it make more sense, right? There should still be order in chaos, right? Like in World War One and Two, you had situations where it was Christmas Day and people literally stopped fighting, got out of the trenches and exchanged gifts and stuff like that. So, yeah, in situations where workers impact other people's lives in serious ways, like there was a strike that was supposed to happen with, I don't know if it was the nuclear plant in Toronto. It was something where if they stopped working, that's actually deadly. You need people to constantly maintain certain orders, you know, whether it be in the energy plant or in the postal service, right? In that situation, that was different because there's other companies, what happened with Canada Post. But yeah, with teachers, there's not like another school you can go to if it's all the schools in the area you live. You just can't go to school.
And it's also almost impossible to find that many replacements in a short period of time.
Absolutely.
But all in all, all three of us agree, so that's great.
Sure.
On to the next one. Net neutrality. Are you for or against net neutrality? Starting on the left.
100% for.
100% for. Easy one. On to the right.
Well, can you elaborate? Why are you for...
So net neutrality, in a nutshell, basically means that internet service providers can't limit the content that people using their services present on the internet. If net neutrality is disbanded, it means that internet service providers have full control over what's getting displayed by people using their services. It means that the freedom of expression on the internet is gone.
It introduces capitalism, in other words, to it, but only with monopolies.
It introduces censorship to the internet.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say capitalism. Censorship would be the proper...
better way to say it. Yeah,
and it's suppressing free speech, like Callum. I 100% agree with Callum, obviously, on that. You know, all conservatives disagree in any...
I'm
going
to get famous, dog.
I'll cut that.
Yeah, any conservative...
It's like AA, first names only.
Any conservative believes in, you know... fairness and
equal expression,
exactly, and lack of censoring of anything. I mean, that is happening a lot on the internet. We saw Alex Jones; he's been banned from a lot of platforms on the internet. Elbaum here, or Big Al, laughs at that, but that is suppression of free speech. And no matter whether you do agree or disagree with his opinions or anything he says, he still should have the right. And although these platforms are, I guess, private entities, you know, like YouTube's not a public forum, I guess, but maybe they should be considered public status because of what it is at this point, what it's grown into, and they shouldn't be allowed to censor conservative speech or any other speech. You know, they say hate speech, but there's hate speech is usually, you know, implying threats to people and stuff like that. And that's not the kind of thing that we're seeing from guys like Alex Jones and other people that have been censored or banned from the internet.
Yeah, and I definitely agree on that. I think one of the big things here is the way social media sites especially are handled. I was actually watching The Minority Report. It's on Netflix. There's an episode about this.
It was a show, I forgot.
Yeah, it's a really insightful show.
I thought it was a Tom Cruise movie.
I guess, they turned it into a show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or no, it's not The Minority Report, it's The Patriot Act or Patriot Report, something like that. Anyways, Hasan Minhaj, he did an episode on how social media sites are treated, especially things like Facebook. There's a law that I can't remember the name of in the United States that was created around the time when newspapers, magazines were big. And it basically identifies two categories of people putting out information to the public. You've got your platforms and your publishers. So your publisher is someone like a book company, and they have to take responsibility for whatever they put out through their site. Now, a platform is something that you can imagine like a magazine stand. They don't create the content, they take content from other places, just like Facebook and other social media sites, and because of that, they aren't responsible for the content that's put out. Now, the problem is that sites and social media places like Facebook are in between. They're getting the benefits of a publisher in that they can monetize this information, but they aren't held responsible for any of it. And because of that, they're actually censoring stuff that's not making them money. So stuff like Alex Jones, I'm gonna say that certain sites were getting negative benefits from having him on there, and that's their reason. And I agree that free speech is a big thing, and Alex Jones shouldn't have been banned. But I think the way that social media sites are being held accountable or unaccountable is an issue.
So when you say that you think that it has a negative impact on these platforms, is it because...
I meant just like financially, like maybe...
Like they're not getting the advertising or
something. Yeah, they're losing. I don't think these guys have any morals.
Okay.
I think this is purely financial. How can we make the most money?
Okay, I'll ask you a question. Who do you think has a bigger platform, CNN or Alex Jones?
Well, I mean, one is a platform, one is a person.
The answer will surprise you. He has way more viewers than CNN does. He has overall his platforms, he has approximately 50 million followers. Okay, CNN is like, you know, maybe around like, you know, 1/10 of that.
Mm-hmm.
So they got rid of him to censor his views, not because he was like, you know, not making them money. He makes around the InfoWars pulls in like $50 million a year or something like that. So they, yeah. Like, they also sell these, like, energy products and all that stuff, but, like, most of that's from, you know, obviously, their...
If anybody's selling energy products and doing a good job of it, it's Alex Jones,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, at least he's not just...
Male vitality pills.
He is an eccentric guy. He's pretty... He seems like it comes off as a nutball most of the time, but... the fact is about Alex Jones is that, yeah, he's made some outlandish... claims over the years. You know what, and I can argue some of them that you're probably going to bring up, but
just
the fact is that he's been a conspiracy, he's been around for a very, very long time, like decades, and he's been bang on with everything. I mean, like, you know, not everything 100% obviously, but most of the stuff that Alex Jones, even the conspiracies, like there's all something there, and they all seem to be proven right. That's just opinion, though.
The point I would make is he's eccentric, and that's, I think, a big reason why a lot of people don't like him, because of his, what I don't know what you'd personally call it, his Nick Cage-ness is what I would say. Is he's like, ooh! Like that.
Yeah,
kind of,
he's hard to take serious.
I don't watch Alex Jones enough to disagree, or I'm not informed enough to argue any of these points. The one thing I would say is that I think he definitely puts on an act in order to get more views, to be controversial.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine him acting like that alone in his house.
Yeah, I don't think he's an absolutely insane person like that.
Well, can you... Yeah, you were going to come up with an example.
Yeah, so the example is the... what's it called? The Sandy Hook shootings.
Okay, yeah, I thought you were going to start with gay frogs, but...
No, because that's not even a point. I think he was ranting and he was...
Well, no, but I would like to cover that for about half a minute.
Sure, of course. Yeah,
enlighten us on gay frogs.
Yeah.
Okay, well... Here's the thing. I mean, like, everyone freaks out about the gay frogs. So, the gay frogs is more of just, like, a line he used. It's actually hermaphroditic frogs. Okay, so the chemicals are turning the frogs into hermaphrodites. They're changing, physically changing their sex.
But where specifically? Is it a creek or the stream of...
I believe the study was done by Berkeley in California. So it's a study done by a left-wing college, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like Berkeley that's like Antifa breeding ground. That is pure leftist, okay? They're the ones that went out and did the study. And it wasn't just them. It's been done by a couple other universities. But they found the chemical, I'm trying to find the name here. I think it's like tetrazine or something like that. So it's a chemical that they're... it's like a byproduct, I guess, either from farming or some other type of industry, but it's getting into the creeks, and they did this extensive study and they did confirm, and this is coming from, you know, Berkeley, right? That that this tetrazine chemical was actually changing the sex of these frogs, and also, I guess, inadvertently making them gay too, right? So the gay frogs claim is a very real thing, and he was just reporting on it. And it's just something that people have used as a good way to smear him because it sounds ridiculous. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah, and the way that he stated it too. Obama's putting a chemical in the water. Turn the frogs gay. Yeah.
Why haven't I been watching Alex Jones? How is it out there?
My only thing is, what negative impacts is that having? Is he claiming to be concerned about
well,
the environment?
You know that, the ecosystem. Well, some people on the right are claiming that they're trying to, you know, feminize men in general, demasculate men.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with, you know, with all this, you know, teaching your kids before they're at a certain age that it's, you know, okay to, you know, still choose what gender you are and this and that, right?
Yeah, prepubescent.
Yeah, that's a different argument altogether, but yeah. Like, I mean, there is a lot of people think, you know, if you believe in the deep state or whatever, a good way to control people, they've always done mind control on people, a good way is to, you know, drug up a society. You know, another one is to distract them with things like stupid things like, you know, their sports teams and like, you know, Netflix and stuff like that. No, the wall is important. That's another story.
But is it more important than
the wall is pretty damn important. But you're knocking me off track there. So you're doing what they're doing. But no. Like that's just another way of controlling the masses. If you can demasculate the men, you can lower their testosterone levels. They're less likely to revolt. I don't know. But that's just a theory coming from the right. But here's the thing though. If there's chemicals in the water that are turning one life form hermaphroditic or gay, what effect is it having on us humans?
Well, I think a good example for that I would give is I forget what chemical. I don't know if it's ginger roots. It's something. But there's a certain type of chemical that you can extract, soy lichen, whatever chemical you get soy sauce out of. It has copious amounts of estrogen in it, and so there's this internet thing that you can call people. You call people that are like into Asian culture and stuff soy boys.
Soy boys,
and they're called that because in soy sauce there's tons of estrogen, so they're saying it's feminizing men. But the thing is, plant estrogen doesn't affect animal cells. There's plant cells and animal cells. There's two distinct cell groups.
Yeah.
And it doesn't affect us. It just passes through us. Okay. It's the same how, like, we can eat chocolate, but it kills dogs.
Mm.
So different species digest and, you know, chemicals affect things differently, right? So if frogs are becoming hermaphrodites through certain chemicals in the water, and then we take it, and maybe it makes your nipples a little hard, it might not be the full effect, right?
Yeah, it might
but
be
smaller
some,
species.
I think those are studies definitely worth being done.
Exactly.
We got to do stats. Yeah, we got to do stats. We got to look at the estrogen and testosterone levels now and then check them 15 years in the future and then see if there's a change. Mm-hmm. All I can say is my nipples are nice and small.
Join the club,
my
bro.
My dick's real hard.
My dick gets hard. We're all winning.
That's it. We're all good. My balls ache. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
So that's net neutrality.
All right. Sidetracked a little bit.
Yeah, that's okay. The minimum wage. Now, we'll start on the right this time. Minimum wage, the increase, do you think that was a positive or negative effect on the country?
The latest increase was that was a bit I think that was a little too much. I mean, are we talking nationwide or provincial?
Was that not nationwide?
Yeah, I think it is, right? Yeah. Well, yeah, because I know they're backtracking on that now. They're gonna freeze it at 14. At least that's the thing. Is it federal? Because Ford, I think, said he's freezing Ontario's at 14 because he's not gonna allow it to go higher, but I could be mistaken there.
Or it's a claim and then he can't do it. It's one of those, right?
I think, in general, I mean, like, you know, most far rightists wouldn't want minimum wage at all, I guess. But, no, obviously it's a good thing. Like, I mean, everyone needs to have the right to earn, like, a living wage. And I think not having a minimum wage might open up the market to hiring, you know, people maybe of other demographics that may normally not be candidates for a job, that they'll hire them and pay them like a very, very low wage, you know.
Yeah, because that's the downside. If there is a minimum wage, then you can't, companies can't start, you know, doing sketchy things and have it not be just like it, just flat illegal, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the one thing that is minimum wage saves, but
yeah, but in general, I guess minimum wage is just to like stay up with inflation, right? And you know, inflation is usually a pretty steady rate, and so why are they jumping the minimum wage several dollars in 1 year? You know, when it should be a gradual thing. It used to go up like 30 cents a year or 50 cents, you know, here and there. Mm-hmm. Like, not even. Like, I remember when I was a kid, my minimum wage was like $7 an hour.
Yeah, for me it was $8.
So that just aged me, yeah. And then within, you know, even several years later, it was only up to like, you know, 8 or 9. And then finally it started jumping a little more in the last, you know, post, you know, the millennium there.
Well, I guess I'm a little bit younger than you guys, because mine started out, I think, my first job when I was like 14. I think it was like $10 an hour.
Okay.
And I'm gonna be honest, like I was a little, when I heard that it was like $14.50 or whatever it is now, I was pretty appalled, because after years of university, I'm still not making that much more than that.
Yeah.
It just I think that jump absolutely was too high, but I think that minimum wage based solely on the economy is the right thing, and I think the concept of a minimum wage is absolutely the right thing. Agree with all your points. I think you need to be able to give people a work or a living wage, and right now that $11.50 to $14.50 is probably excessive. Much, for a, yeah. It's not like
it's not, even,
it's not,
that,
not your
that's
living
the thing
hard,
though, like
but,
sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, because I kind of agree too that like I actually don't think it's like that bad, because here's the thing. I don't think that you should jump the minimum wage that quickly. I think it should be done more gradual for inflation. But I do believe that the minimum wage was too low already to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert in like commerce or anything like that. And they do say, yeah, that, you know, jacking the minimum wage up is, you know, making it harder for employers to create jobs and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I mean, I do remember that when I was just coming up and I was starting to work at minimum wage for like $7, $8, $9 an hour. Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
after taxes and everything. Yeah, it's not enough to live.
Yeah, it's enough of a living wage if you're living with your parents or something like that. But
that's right.
Hey, I still live with my parents right now too. You ain't the only one.
Yeah, the point I would add with minimum wage is it's supposed to stay on par. So it's like, oh, we're getting paid $15 an hour now working at Timmy's. That's awesome. But it's like, but now a bag of chips is going to be $7.
Exactly, yeah.
So nothing changes, which is the weird thing, right? It's going to keep going up where it's like a minimum wage is like $50 an hour, but a bag of chips is going to be like $25. It's the weirdest thing. Nothing changes, but the numbers
it's just
keep going.
What is money, though? Money's just a bunch of numbers, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, well, money is the illusion that we all agree on, right? Or it's the story that we all agree on.
Okay,
so money isn't actually real. The only thing that's real is the rarity of certain minerals. So it's like diamonds, but then that's a conspiracy that was actually proven, that big companies are buying all the diamond mines that other people find.
Yeah, so that they can raise.
Up.
Yeah, because the price of like diamonds are a lot more common
than
something
rare.
Like platinum. Platinum's 10 times more rare than diamonds, and it's used in almost every electronic device we own. So it's used all the time, but the reason we're not paying up the ass is because there's not a fake money raising. Exactly. It's just diamond companies trying to, like, I mean, the whole concept of a diamond ring was presented by these companies, and the whole concept didn't exist before the 1940s of proposing with a diamond ring, but now it's an absolute staple in our entire culture.
I don't know if it comes from the same source, but I guess there's a big need for industrial diamonds as well, right?
Yeah.
Sawing and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're, like, we do have man-made diamonds now, but
mm-hmm.
The issue is that they're not the same quality. It's the same thing as man-made pearls.
Or synthetic leather, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like technology will catch up to the point where it is indistinguishable. It could be there already, but it's being suppressed. The science
mm-hmm.
behind it.
We can get it. Like, our diamonds are technically more perfect than natural diamonds. But
yeah,
that's
they're flawless.
Yeah, yeah. Our diamonds are flawless. They're pure carbon layers.
Yeah.
But natural diamonds are flawed, but that's why they're worth so much more money.
Yeah, because they was made over millions of years.
Exactly.
Okay, so if you guys are ready, on to the next subject. Universal basic income. This is a subject.
We kind of almost just dabbled in that.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Universal basic income.
Okay, well, We're starting to lean towards like socialism, communism at this point.
Yeah,
that's the fear, because that's where the philosophy started. But one point I'll make before even throwing it to you guys is universal basic income, as far as a theory in the future goes, rather than in the past or in the current present day, is when we live in a world where human beings are essentially useless to robots that can do literally every job, whether it's social work, whether it's mathematics, whether it's creativity, it can do literally every job better than us, and they're still somehow subservient. How do the people of the world live? And then so that's where this concept is finding better ground now than back in the day, where it was that the government would pay you, but the government's corrupt and mass genocide happens.
I don't see a future, at least in the next 200 plus years, where there isn't an element of human thinking and subjectivity that is not required in some jobs. I can absolutely agree that the percentage will drop like huge. Sorry, that's my phone. I can absolutely agree that the percentage is going to drop on jobs. We're already losing a lot of the small skilled labor kind of jobs. And I think some of those thinking, teaching jobs might apply. But I'm still definitely not seeing it completely get rid of all human jobs. And I am completely against the idea of a basic universal income. Even in the future, I think if that theoretically happens and there are no jobs, I think we're going to have a completely different society, one that we can't really comprehend how to solve those problems at this point. But I think at this point, a universal basic income is wrong. If you don't contribute to society, you don't deserve society to contribute benefits to you.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound like a liberal to me.
Sounds like a smart person.
Yeah. Well, libertarian and socialist is two different categories, right? There's just libertarians.
There's a spectrum and there's a center. And, that's the thing. A libertarian's more on right-leaning. They're more for less government interference. You know, things down south are for the Second Amendment and less taxes and stuff like that. That's a right-wing kind of ideology more than a left-wing one. But you can also be social liberal, like L. Baum here, or Big L, you know. And you could be both, right? So,
yeah.
That's the thing. That's what I don't like about this whole,
current divide that we live in.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I've definitely aligned myself more liberally, but I think, like, morally, when it comes down to the moral and ethical issues, I usually side with liberal points. But when it comes to fiscal, I'm half conservative, half, like, I'm... It's hard to put any one of us into a box, and that's the problem. People aligning you with one or the other and then saying if you're not on our side, you're on the wrong side.
I think we all just want something that works for everybody.
Exactly.
It's like, that's why I don't like this whole painting people a certain, like, this partisanship and all that. Mm-hmm. Like just because, you know, I might believe in certain fiscal responsibilities doesn't mean I necessarily believe that abortion should be 100%. You know, outlawed, or if I were to be, you know, on the other side, you know, if I was liberal, it shouldn't mean that you're into, you know, abortion. Yeah, or
exactly.
Like, I just don't like how they group all these ideas together, and you're supposed to believe in all of them if you believe in one of them.
And like we said last week, extremism, no matter what side of argument you're on, is almost always the wrong position.
Yeah. Oh, and another one, too. I just heard this recently, but it's like, if you put a big group of people together all believing in one thing, that's fucking crazy, and they're all insane. Doesn't matter what it is.
That's religion. Called democracy, man.
the whole thing is like, you know, like, I mean, the joke is about religion there, right? Where it's like, get a million people believing one thing. All that's going to do is create some semblance of violence, because they're going to, you know, collide with someone who isn't thinking like them.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the better world we live in is one that is completely diverse. Because that's how we came to be, right? Diversity. If it wasn't for diversity, you wouldn't have certain cells eating other cells and branching and having certain different abilities. And,
well, if you believe in that.
If you believe in...
Evolution.
Well, okay, what about microevolution, at least?
What about it?
Is that plausible?
Well, no, I'm not saying evolution doesn't exist. I'm just saying that it's not necessarily... There's a lot of holes in his theory there, Darwin's theory there. I mean,
oh, yeah.
So personally, I'm not I believe that there is a higher power to intelligent design to some extent. I don't consider myself a religious person because I'm not smart enough to know that. Like, I can't put my finger or proven anyway. You gotta
read every single book and then decide.
Exactly. So it's the same with that, basically.
But anyway, UBI, take it away.
Excuse me?
You haven't given your opinion yet about universal basic income.
Oh. Well, I mean, we already do have universal basic income. It's called welfare, right?
That's true.
And we see how much that's already abused.
That's right.
Exactly. So what they want to do, I guess, is just make sure that everyone's getting... Like, I don't understand that. I mean, it's not like it's not free money. It's like when they offer free tuition and this and that. It's not free. Everyone's paying for it. Mm-hmm. You're paying for it in the end, too. So yeah. It's not free. I mean... But giving a basic, like, I just don't understand the concept of it. And I know you were saying that in the future it might be a necessity when, like, everything's automated. And what is this population going to be doing when there's no jobs for them? You know?
Philosophical panic.
Maybe the only solution to that is depopulation.
Or just make people work even though we don't need them to work, just to give them purpose.
I think at that point, society, like, if we get to a point where... robots are doing every single job that a human is doing, then I think at that point we'll probably be past a certain currency, in a sense.
I think that'll be
an entirely different form of society that we've never seen.
Yeah, we're going back really to the barter system.
Yeah. All right, well, very nice. On to the next topic. Mental health funding. So, digging in your pockets, try and help other people who have mental health issues that might make life debilitating for them to keep a job or anything like that, or just to stay alive, right? Mm-hmm. So whether it's suicidal tendencies with bipolarism or violent tendencies with schizophrenia, paranoid schizophrenia, anything like that, are you guys for or against?
I'll start. I'm absolutely for mental health funding. We have an absolute lack in Ontario right now of mental health funding and mental health treatment. I think I personally have never really experienced too much hardship in this way, but I do have some very personal things that have happened to people I know and are close to me, and I think that the treatment that they've gotten is not sufficient to really help them. I think there's an underwhelming amount of options for these people, and I think a lot of the cases of people, like, you see cases of, like, there was that lady on the Danforth, she was on the Gardner, I think, and she saw some girl on the street looking at her wrong, and she pulled out a shotgun and shot her.
Wow.
And you hear cases about this all the time, like, all these terrorist acts, 90% of them that are domestic are somebody who's mentally ill, and there's a lot of people that could have been saved if the people who had committed those acts had gotten the right treatment. If we had trained people in schools, in government organizations, to identify and help those people.
Yeah, that's good.
On you.
Yeah, well, it's I totally believe in some form of public health care. So yeah, obviously mental illness falls into that category. Like, I've been personally affected by it. I had a family member, die of dementia. So, and I watched that. I saw that the care wasn't really up to code, and I guess they need to put a lot more into research as well to figure out how they can prevent. It's like an epidemic. Like, the Alzheimer's rates have skyrocketed over the years. I mean, like, I think mm-hmm. it's something. I'm not sure exactly what I think it's around, like, 400%, like, over, like, decades, I think. I know autism's gone up 400%.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Have you guys followed McLeod? What's her name? Lisa McLeod, she's somewhere in the Ontario government. She just cut autism funding for parents. Another big one. Ontario is really bad when it comes to funding the right treatment for people with mental illness. And there are moms picketing right now in Ontario because they've cut the funding that they were giving to kids with autism for treatment down to, I think, $600 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the cost for someone who can actually treat someone with autism, a kid with autism needs about 5 to 6 years of steady treatment to build the social skills to be a productive member of society. On average, these are highly autistic kids, high on the spectrum. And they're taking that money away to the point where, unless you have $1 million in the bank, these treatment centers will turn you down saying, for $600 a month, we can't do the right job. We're not going to benefit your child.
Huh.
I It's terrible. I didn't know Ontario was so bad.
Yeah, I've been listening. It's really big this past 2 or 3 weeks that's been going on.
Yeah, definitely. They got to obviously take care of our citizens' physical and mental health. But, yeah, I think they should be, yeah, hopefully they are. I mean, they're trying to figure out how to prevent these illnesses because it's going to affect all of us eventually. At the rate it's going now, we're all basically scheduled to get some type of dementia before we die, you know, unless
we end it ourselves.
Right? Well, unless, yeah, obviously, you know, die of other reasons beforehand, but it's getting showing up in younger and younger cases, yeah, you know, absolutely. Every year, so.
Definitely a big issue that needs to be further addressed.
Yeah, absolutely. So now the next topic, and this one's sort of in the same vein when it comes to funding, but it's a little different, right? We might get a little opposition here. Native funding. And Aboriginal funding in general. Or no, that's not right. Just Native?
Well,
I don't know if Aboriginal.
Well, Aboriginal, I think, is, yeah, Native, Aboriginal.
Native Canadians.
Yeah, Native.
I'm sure there's a difference that some activists would bring up, but
I don't think so.
Lump them together right
Native,
now.
Native is definitely the right word. Because
I know Aboriginal, they use Aboriginal for Native Australians. I don't know if they use it.
Because let's say Native Arizona. Canadians.
Sure. Native Canadians, that's the easiest.
Anyways, I don't know necessarily if funding is exactly the right thing. I think, obviously, there needs to be an increase in funding. I don't think we should just pour all our money into that, but I think Canada has absolutely mistreated natives, and I'm not talking about when we first colonized. I'm not saying reparations. Mm-hmm. Currently, right now, the highest rate of missing people is Native Canadian women, and they are being kidnapped, raped, murdered, left at the wayside, and police aren't even searching into them. I think they're, as liberal as it sounds, I think there is a systematic mistreatment of Native people today in Canada, in Ontario. I don't necessarily think funding's exactly going to solve those problems, but I think there's a ton of problems that need to be addressed.
Yeah, I mean, they're the only peoples in North America that are classed differently. I mean, they have their own nation, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with that, they have, you know, generally terrible conditions. Like, most Native reserves are, you know, subpar conditions for a first world country, I think. I mean, mm-hmm. And I guess that's where the subsidies and all that come in to try and help, but I don't think that helps the problem. You're just throwing a blanket on it. I mean, it's a really tough subject because, yeah, there was atrocities committed and the whole thing with the school system thing and all that. And, yeah, just it's something that's really difficult to fix. So I don't want to say that, yeah, you shouldn't be throwing money at it because they should be. But maybe they should be taking, you know, a different strategy on that. And instead of just, you know, giving them monetary, you know, gifts and stuff like that, maybe, you know, they're gonna have to rework the whole system and then try and start over with their communities. Like, mm-hmm. they got to do something about it. I mean, I don't know, it's a tough subject. I don't have like a very strong opinion on it either way, but if we're to just talking about, you know, I do believe that, you know, we had a right to come here and claim this as our country. Like, I mean, all nations have been conquered and taken, through the means of war and stuff like that. And nowadays, that's frowned upon. Like, you're probably not going to see too many more nations invaded anymore because we have a global, system now. We have the United Nations that, you know, stops or at least tries to prevent things like that. But the fact is that's how nations were formed, and that it was accepted back in those days. That was the only way of doing it. So it's how we move forward from here. I mean,
exactly.
That's one of the biggest things they say about war is those planning war need not only plan how to start a war or to conquer a country, but how to then live with the people that they just conquered. It doesn't just end. It's then now you and all of your future generations will live with these people as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I definitely think that right now it's kind of like what they were doing in Iraq back in the 90s. They were just throwing money at it, hoping that would fix the problem of starting a war there. But, like, you also need a plan because clearly just throwing money at a problem doesn't fix it because the people there don't know what to do then with the money?
Exactly.
Yeah, like, there should be something. Because, I mean, yeah, the residential schools, wasn't that like... Like, it didn't even end in the 60s. Didn't it end later, like, in the 70s or 80s? Like, that was super recent.
And then, no matter how bad it was, like, that was at least an attempt to assimilate them into Canadian
culture. In a weird way. I think it was a religious...
It was a terrible thing, but at least they were... Yeah, I'm not saying at least, but it was an attempt to assimilate their population into Canadian culture, and it was obviously failed miserably. And
tons of suicides.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean... Yeah, that's one of the biggest atrocities in Canadian history, in the sense that it wasn't just attempting to assimilate as much as it was forcing to attempt assimilation.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And we all agree that that was not
handled.
But also not trying to assimilate their like, I mean, that's also that would also be tragic as well,
exactly.
Because then we
create a divide.
Be where we are today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have Indian reserves. It's basically like it's almost like they're treated as second class citizens,
mm-hmm.
even though they are given subsidies and given basic living.
It's just
necessities.
The land is barren. They can't really farm on the land we gave them.
It's just too much of a thing now for us to throw money at natives and say, figure it out yourselves, instead of the government trying to propose plans to properly
build communities.
I think a shitload of money should be dumped into education. We should be bringing in teachers into native reserves, because the education for native Canadians is so low compared to the majority of the rest of Canada. They're not getting the education they deserve. They're not getting the treatment in law. They're not getting the environment that people in this country deserve.
And I'm going to say something bold. I think we should remove French as our second language. And we should replace it with, because they have probably not hundreds, but they have multiple languages,
mm-hmm.
the most popular. I don't know if it would be Cree or any other different version. But I think that should be our second language as a native one. Because if you were to teach the people of a country the obviously, the language of the country that, first off, English is the dominant language, and then second, have it be whatever the other native holder of that country was. Because they do that in other countries, right? Like Germany, German is obviously the first language they speak, and then the second one is either Dutch or French, whatever countries.
Is that an official language, or is it just... Is there a second official language?
In every country in Europe, they have a second one. Yeah.
Right.
Like in Belgium, it's Dutch and French.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Well, right. I don't disagree with the fact that these languages need to be preserved. I was literally listening to a show a couple weeks ago about how native languages are very, very close to dying out completely, and many of them already have. I don't agree that we should change that to our second language. I think taking French away as Canada's second language is how you start a civil war
exactly,
in this country. Because Québécois, they care.
Well, we're still arguing about the sign thing. And it's okay for Quebecers to take English off of their signs, yet somehow the rest of Canada has to abide by, even though there's no French people in most of our other parts of Canada, or at least non-English speaking people. Like, I love there's French people all over the country. It's just, usually if a French person lives in Alberta, he probably speaks English as well.
They're going to learn
English,
But
yeah, in Quebec, though, they're still going crazy about, we don't want English on our signs and this and that, so...
Seriously. I want to start civil war.
But that's right. Like, they deserve to have French on their
exactly.
signs, but English is still the primary language of Canada,
and
it needs to be respected by their province regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I agree that French, they should never remove French as a second language. I mean, but, like if they add Cree, is that really going to do anything to...
Mm-hmm.
To prolong that language, really.
I think
who's going to learn it?
I think, more funding towards educating people on that, maybe, university kind of stuff, offering more courses, helping to preserve the language is not a bad thing, but I don't agree that it should be a change to the national language.
True. Well, there we go. We'll hold it at that. Thanks, guys. So on to the... Actually, how far along are we? I haven't even looked. No, we're doing okay.
45.
No,
not bad.
On to the next topic. University tuition. Should be a fun one. For or against university tuition?
For or against it, or for or against quote-unquote free tuition?
The free tuition. So we'll start with the left, go to the right. It's a beautiful book.
This is a bit of a tricky one because, I I think universities, we have a problem with the way schools are structured, and we have it a hell of a lot better than the U.S., but I'm going to use the U.S. schools as a huge example here, because it's, best way to put it, an atrocity to the people and to the people going to these schools. The way that the privatized institutions have steadily ramped up. I think in Canada, it's reasonable to have tuition, and I think the way we've got our universities privatized is somewhat functioning, but I think the concept of public education in post-secondary is a valuable concept. It may be unrealistic to apply it to our current state of education, but I do think the idea of having publicly funded education is a beneficial idea for universities and colleges, because you do build the economy that way. And I get that private institutions are taking a hit, but in every country that has done publicly funded post-secondary, there has been economic benefits, undoubtedly. So, <Okay. coughs> on to you.
All right, well, I'd make a point, too, about other countries that have adopted that system. Probably 90% of the cashiers and people bagging groceries at your grocery store have a university degree in countries like Austria and Germany like that, because they're all getting it for free. Yeah, it's so bad that you can even be a foreigner. Like, if you as a Canadian, you can get on a plane right now, and you obviously have to do some paperwork and get some type of, you know,
high school
travel pass.
You know, things like that. Because you know how education defaults when you go to different countries? If you get a citizenship?
No, mature student status usually applies in most countries, I think. Well, most Western countries.
Yeah. Okay.
But anyway, so I'm just making the point that a Canadian could, you know, theoretically go over to Germany or Austria and enroll in their schools, and it would be paid for by their government or the taxpayers. But the thing is okay, so every college degree or university degree has a certain value to it, right? Like in the marketplace, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It has a value because there's all, it's a supply and demand. There's only so many degrees out there, and there's only so many jobs for those degrees to fill. So when you make post-secondary education a right, and you allow everyone to go and have the same opportunities. This sounds evil. I mean, everyone should have equal opportunity, but economically, when you do that, you're when you empower that many people, it devalues all of those degrees. I mean, see, Callum. Or sorry, I mean
Big Al.
I mean, Big Al, you know, went and got, you know, his degree, right?
Still
so,
don't have it.
Well, whatever.
Working on it.
Whatever. Yeah. But anyway, so let's just say, and when you go into the workplace, you're going to be competing with other people with the mm-hmm. same credentials, right? What would happen if that pool was overflowed with everybody? All of a sudden, everyone had your credentials.
See,
what's going to happen?
Here's the
then?
Thing. I don't think that's a possibility. I think that I do agree with that idea, but I think that finance shouldn't be the barrier holding people back. I think that the amount of work somebody's willing to put in, I think that the guidelines to getting into university, marks wise, essay wise, portfolio wise, should be higher. I don't think they should let more people into university. I just think they should take down the financial barrier that's holding a segment of the population back.
Those that are intelligent enough to become doctors should
exactly
be financially. So
exactly,
like, if you're smart enough, that should be a credential.
But I do agree that if education was completely free and there was upsizes on classes, you would see more issues. Just like Bobby Rose over here is saying, and at university even, there are issues with people not getting jobs. But I think that that's the unspecialized people. I see a lot of people in school who are there to turn up because they want the university experience. They're going in for a BA or an economics. You would not believe how many fucking idiots I see going for their economics degree. I see people who do 3 years one program, think, oh, I don't want to graduate yet. I'm just going to switch into this program. And there are problems with that. Those are people who are taking a spot from somebody in a program that could give them a skill set that's going to benefit society and build money for the economy. So I think if we ever did go with publicly funded post-secondary, I think there have to be stricter guidelines to entrance,
mm-hmm.
and there need to be I think more specialized courses that are going to better prepare people for skilled positions. That's why I think publicly funded college would be a right first step, before university,
mm-hmm.
in skilled trade positions especially, which are not enough people are getting into.
That's cool. And I think that, yeah, like, I think, yeah, that you're saying that your credentials eventually will start, even if everyone has a degree, you know, the people that are have the skill to get those higher degrees, you know, obviously they're going to benefit more. But at the end of the day, yeah, you're still going to have people flipping burgers with college degrees,
mm-hmm.
because there's not enough
if you go to jobs if you go get a BA with no guidance or intention of getting a job in that field after, and you're flipping burgers, I have no sympathy for you, bro.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, but it's not their fault. There's too much competition. There's not enough jobs.
You shouldn't have gotten a BA. You shouldn't go to university unless you know why you're in university.
Okay, so then what is the point of all this then? Why are we sending people to university if there's not going to be the jobs for them anyways? If they're not going to be able to
compete.
Well,
I think positions like BAs, really basic stuff like that, a lot of people are... Those positions in universities exist because we have that privatized university structure, and that's an easy way for them to get a lot of money.
And there should there be a limit to how many times you're allowed to use this for university? Is it one time, or do you get to use it as much as you want?
See, that's a good point, and not one that I have an answer to, because we haven't really thought this system through. I think as a concept, I'm for, but I do agree that there are many, many, many issues that would pop up, and this needs to be, if ever implemented, thought out over years-long process with input from many, many, much more intelligent people than me.
Yeah, and one thing I would throw at you guys would be the trades industry. That's always a guaranteed job because we never have enough people in trades and in labor forces in general. So what about making education for that?
That's what I was saying five minutes ago. For sure,
to
a certain extent. But then after a certain period of time, everyone, the trade, it's going to say, it's the same thing. It'll happen in the trade industry as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what I mean? But, you know, it is good that if there's a shortage in the trade industry, maybe try and even that out and do it for a while,
mm-hmm.
to fill that industry more, you know?
But then once that gets...
Then you tighten it back up.
Yeah,
again.
I can't disagree with that at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, now that we're nearing the end of part two, go one last one for you guys. Fun one. Flag burning. or against.
Fuck it, man. Well, if you're so stuck up on a... a symbol that it felt like, I don't know. It's just, it's a non-issue that people make an issue. I think, I get it, you're patriotic about something, you're taking a personal offense to that, but step back, think about it. It's a piece of person burning a piece of fabric. Who gives a fuck?
I'm for and against it. So I'm for it because it's our constitutional right. Well, in the States, the First Amendment, right? Obviously, we have a right to freedom of expression in Canada, so... It's our given right to be able to burn a flag, even our own flag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm against it. I'm against anyone burning the Canadian flag or the American flag, because, you know, it's just kind of ironic that you're burning the flag that's giving you these freedoms, allowing you these freedoms to burn a flag. Like, that should be the one flag that you don't burn, because that's the only reason you're not being locked up or stoned to death for doing that, because you live under that flag. So people should... Although, yes, you shouldn't be jailed for burning a piece of fabric that has a Canadian leaf on it. I think it's disgusting to see that. I mean, because we live in such a progressive country. I mean, the fact that people are burning Canadian and American flags, like we're the leaders of the world in human rights and, amongst other things. I mean, it's... I don't see why you're going
to...
Yeah, I can agree, because I would never have an intention of burning a flag, but I kind of like laugh when you see people burning a flag and stomping it out and going so insane at these rallies.
Well, yeah.
And I just think, like,
it's like chant.
Who cares? Like, are you accomplishing anything? You could have just made a sign that says like "fuck America" or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think this would have been great to tie in with our nationalism debate last time, because.
Yeah.
I think people need to step back and, I don't know, there's this whole psychology about in-groups and out-groups and cognitive dissonance between them. I think people who get so patriotic or nationalistic, I don't think that that's wrong, but I think it can lead to just more issues. Whereas if somebody steps back, like so many of these people who are so angry burning the flags or at people burning the flags, if they all just step back, take a deep breath, and understand that this person's just trying to get a rile out of me. They're trying to make a point by burning fabric, and it really isn't anything. If I don't give them any reaction, there's nothing there. It's in the end, it's just a piece of fabric.
It's a great point. It's very mature of you. That's, you know, that's the ultimate thing, right? Is if you take a step back, because that isn't that like one of the most basic elements of maturity is to just walk away from a situation.
Yeah, rise above, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we could all do that, that'd be a great thing. So I don't know. I feel like I got to get on people that are more crazy. You guys are, you know, talking too much sense.
Just wait. Next week we're gonna be brawling it out. Wow, brass knuckles.
Instead of like, you know, my studio. I'll need somewhere else. I'll need, like, just some back lot just with dirt and mud and a fire and get people to fight each other.
If I see more Doss Island Part 2, it's probably due to cannabis usage. So.
Moi aussi.
Yeah, FBI, leave this guy alone.
On that note, side note, Government of Canada, why are marijuana concentrates illegal? Come on, man.
Is that what Shatter?
Why are edibles illegal now?
Yeah,
I gotta make
them
myself in my kitchen.
Edibles are illegal?
Yeah, edibles. Actually, they're working on edibles and concentrates being legal in the next year. But I mean,
Joe's disappointed.
I'm disappointed. Yeah, because for me, I was waiting till April when they started opening up shops.
No, they're not gonna be out then. It'll be next October by earliest, because they're so much harder to regulate. But I mean, I think the government and the people making these laws just don't have a good enough understanding about this stuff.
Yeah, I think they're old fogies. They don't know nothing about marijuana.
Exactly. That's why I'm still buying my weed illegally, because there is no legal option. The whole purpose of this was to stomp out the black market. You're not gonna fucking do that if you don't provide the same products and services that the black market can provide.
They never will be capable of it either. I mean, they've already proven it in the first year. It's one of the biggest failures in government history, the cannabis online, Ontario cannabis
OCS. OCS is a joke. That's why already, like, I was so pissed off when they first unveiled their plan for legalization through OCS, because I don't want anybody having a monopoly, especially not the government. Then Doug Ford beamed down from heaven in a shining light and said, privatize dispensaries. And that's what I had been shouting for forever, and I think that's the first step in the right direction Ontario has made since legalization.
Yeah, by all means. Because, yeah, what are the other provinces doing right now? Where are we at?
BC is... I could be wrong, but I believe BC has allowed privatized. But I honestly don't know about the middle of Canada.
I haven't really looked too much into it.
Yeah. I've been pissed enough.
I just use it. I don't regulate it.
I just feel like we have the worst of it.
I mean, they just, like, you could tell it was a bunch of old lawmakers who clearly had never smoked a doob in their life trying to make this shit.
We're like, all right, this is becoming illegal. What should we do?
Yeah, I don't know. OC, Ontario's first take, like, the first time they unveiled that plan, I metaphorically threw up because of how just embarrassing.
Oh, I knew exactly how this was
going. Oh, I knew how it was going, but I was praying.
And I vowed I'm always going to, either if I have to, grow my own or obtain it through, you know, black market somehow.
That, I think, was the best part of legalization.
You're
growing.
Grow?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
Wow, whatever. Yeah,
hey, why not?
It's not like they were going to bust you before anyways. They're coming to your house and you got two plants. Like,
I mean, I never got busted.
Yeah, well.
There you go. Now it's too late. Ha! Got it. Now we can record it. Yeah, send it out. All right. Well, hey, guys. Thanks for sitting down and chatting with me for part two. Part three will come, obviously, next week, and I can say that very confidently because these are getting released months from now, so we'll have it by then, right? So I'll just regulate it.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but either way, thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah, thanks for having us. All right, see ya.
Perfect.
Titties.